Let me know when you're ready. It is great to be back in the building for our classes, and we got the young people's classes starting today too, so that's wonderful. It's been a long time since we've been able to do this, and I'm excited that we can be together as we've been over a year since we've had these classes in the building, and now that we're able to do that, I think for me it's much more enjoyable. We interact, ask questions, make comments, which I want to say during this class, which is on creation evidences. Please feel free to ask any questions or make comments. We're going to try just asking the questions whenever you would like. Raise your hand and ask a question. We won't use a microphone out there in the auditorium. I'll just repeat the question or the comment, and that way people who are listening or maybe later on sometime listen to this, they'll know what's being said. And we'll try it that way for at least this morning. Maybe next Sunday we'll do something different.
Great shot. You can keep going.
Oh, yeah, that you're ready to go there. So,
no pressure, Scott.
I'll just wait for you. There we go. Got it.
You say it a couple minutes away, or are you about ready to go?
I would say we're just about
almost there. Are you going to try
to
get big?
Way presenting, right?
Yeah, you want, no, this is a large way.
Okay, so.
Design, and then slide view, and then normal. No, you didn't hit the right button. Oh. I don't know about what that is.
Can we just go like what's there today? Like this?
Okay, let's try it. Let's try it. Okay, still having some stuff.
Oh, I don't have that.
Scott, the presenter's paused. Center.
All right, check it now, please, Nathan. Thanks.
All right, great. Good to see everybody this morning. Appreciate your presence. I'm going to ask somebody to lead in prayer. Brother Bill Speck, would you, from where you are, lead in prayer, please, as we begin our class this morning?
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, we give you all the credit, the glory, the praise, the honor that your name certainly deserves. For the things that you have created and blessed us with in this world, Father, as you have maintained it over the years, as a temporary dwelling place for your people. Father, we pray for one day when you come and redeem your people and take us to our real home eternally to be with you forever. We ask that you would bless Brother Spahn in the time that he's taken to prepare these eternal thoughts for us. Father, that we would be able to honor your great name even more after listening and participating in this lesson. Father, we pray that we would consider our neighbors and friends, ask them to come, and also to take a look at your greatness in your creation. Father, we ask you to be with us at this time. Be with those on our prayer lists, Father, that are in need of your care, for you are so great. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. Again, appreciate the presence of everyone here. We are beginning a study this morning in the auditorium class on creation evidences. And we'll be explaining more in detail what that's all about. And it'll be a little while until we get into the actual evidence. But I want to look at this verse to begin with this morning and just see what God is expecting. We are believers. We hold that the Bible is God's word. We hold that Jesus is the Son of God. And there's a perspective that we come from, and we want to realize what God is thinking about and what he has given to us that we might know that he exists. Now, later I realize that we'll be having to establish this in evidences and build a case for these things. But for now, just look at this passage as we start. Psalm 19, verse 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God, The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Now, what is God saying here? He's as obvious as you can possibly state it, saying, I'm trying to tell you something by the things that I have made. There is speech going out. There are words coming out, even if that's a figurative thing that he says there, which it is. And there is knowledge that you can understand, that you can look at, that you can examine to know that I'm God. And so, as a reason for this kind of study, God is the one who says, look to the things that I've made and you will see the evidence for my existence. So we're going to spend this time looking at these things and examining. And again, I want to encourage any questions or comments as we go through. This is a Bible study. Sometimes I get carried away and start saying too much too fast. It's okay to slow me down. And I appreciate the participation very much. We try to learn together. There's some things, a lot of things I don't know about this subject. And maybe you can help me learn more. To start with, though, I'm going to do a little bit of an overview. Before we get into creation evidences, I kind of want to whet your appetite. If you've never looked at evidences for Christianity in general before, you need to realize there's a whole lot of it. There's a whole lot of evidence that God has given us. And it's great to be able to take the time and opportunity to look into that. And I want you to invest that time. We won't be looking at some of these things, or a lot of these things today, or during this series, but it's something that you can look forward to and you can seek out, and I can help you even find some of the places you can see that. Let me say this, though, too. Ever since I became a Christian, that was 18 years old. That was 50 years ago. Whoa! I've been excited about evidences that are available to really establish the truth that God is. It's always been something I've been interested in. I love the fact that God has made it so obvious, so clear in so many ways that he is the creator and that he is the one that we need to look to as our Lord, and that Jesus is actually his son, and that this book, the Bible, is his word. Yes, Andrew?
It's also not a lack of faith to look at evidences.
No, nope, not at all. Andrew says it's not a lack of faith to look at evidences. And give me a second, and I'll make a point about that. It's not at all. In fact, well, let me say this first, is that I love the way that God's made it so obvious if you will take the time to look.
Amen.
Now, I also love the fact that he hides it from people who don't really want to know and who wouldn't serve God even if they did know. It's kind of like a parable. God places a clear meaning in something you have to work at to understand. Evidences can be that way. God's not going to just rip open the heavens, rip open the clouds every 50 years, put his great and glorious head down and say, I am God, serve me. He doesn't do that. He chooses not to do that. That's not the way that he is going to reveal his goodness and his greatness and his truth. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, it says over there that God chose the foolishness of preaching to spread the gospel of his kingdom. That's how he did. He calls it the foolishness. A lot of people call teaching the gospel to people foolishness. And so God describes it that way. Paul does in this passage. God has chosen a certain way to reveal himself. He does it through his word, and he does it also through his creation. And that's what we'll be zooming in on here in just a little bit, is that he's going to reveal himself through his creation. And so he has chosen that the glory of his creation be the thing that actually convinces us. Now, I'm going to say this after Andrew just said what he said. I don't think this kind of a study is absolutely necessary. That's kind of a funny thing. I'm up here teaching it, and I'm saying at the same time, it's not absolutely necessary. I think all you need to figure out that the Bible is God's word and that this whole universe has been made by him is common sense. That's all you need. I mean, I could say class is over. Just use your common sense and be interested enough to think about it and dwell about it, to dwell on it. Common sense is all it takes to look up and see, look, there's words coming out of this place, out of the universe. There is knowledge here. This can't be an accident. You can't be an accident. All it takes is common sense. Really, that's all it is. So I don't think you absolutely need to have a class like this, though I also think everyone can benefit from it. Everyone can deepen their faith. Everyone can expand their understanding and also be more able to help others to see the evidence that God has shown. Mike.
I think that a strong reason for the examination of this topic is the fact that we have to interact with other people. When I was in high school, about the same time that you came across the gospel, mm-hmm. I did too. And,
yeah.
And my older brother, who had been going to college, had all of this evolutionary stuff that he was, you know, spewing at me. And I, at that time, I wasn't informed as to the evidences that God exists and Bible is his word and those kinds of things. So when I found them, they were really, really vital to me.
Yeah, so the comment is made that, I'm repeating this for those online, that when Mike was going through the same thing in high school and college, he was also benefited by the evidences that he was learning, and that was something that led him to a faith or a stronger faith. Yeah, Andy.
Along with the common sense, though, you also have to have the intellectual honesty.
Yes. Honesty. There you go. And you're right.
You have to have an open mind and be willing to change your position that you may have had helmeted in your head throughout your school years when you see the evidence.
That's exactly right. You have to be willing to be open-minded, to look at something, to consider an opinion that's not originally your own opinion, but somebody else's. And that's the only way you can find truth, right? Is that you're open to whatever argument somebody wants to make and you examine it honestly. So you're right. Common sense, good heart, honest heart, these are things that are necessary. And again, those evidence are strong and great and very detailed. We'll see that support the existence of God and the Bible is his word. Okay. Just a bit of an overview of other evidences we won't be covering in any detail, just to whet your appetite. There's many Christian evidences of Christianity. I'm going to start off here by just surveying the testimony of Scripture. We read in Scripture specifically about many miracles that Jesus did. Now, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. So I can't say, look, I saw these miracles that Jesus did. No, but they're written in this book as a record. You know this. Let me read Matthew 11:5. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. Now, if those miracles actually happened, how obvious are they? We're not talking here about somebody has a neck that's sore, can you heal it? No, these are people that have very obvious, clear illnesses and disabilities. Yes, that's what I mean to say. Very obvious, clear to see. You can't mistake it whether somebody has one of these kinds of things. So it's not something you can pull over and deceive somebody. John 20:30-31, another verse that says, many other signs therefore Jesus performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. So, point being here, these testimony of Scripture that Jesus performed in his apostles, disciples, all these amazing miracles, did they really happen? Four little points here that again, we're not going to look in detail, but that help you to see that this is a reliable and trustworthy evidence. First of all, the Bible is a record of eyewitnesses, people who actually saw these things. They testified to many unmistakable and amazing miracles. They told us what they saw, and what they saw was amazing. Okay? Now, the Bible cannot be a fabrication or just made up fairy tale because, or a legend, because it was, it's a first century record written just shortly after the events. You've got to put yourself in this situation as if these things just happened 5 years ago in the city of Sumner. All these amazing miracles. Would you know about it, whether they were really miracles or not? You know the owner of a store down there who was lame from his youth and he was healed? You would know because you lived during that time. That is what the Bible is, a record of that kind of witness. Okay? No one would have followed Jesus and his apostles if they had failed to do the tremendous miracles which they were claiming. If they were just lying about these miracles, who's going to follow them? If I said, hey, the owner down there of McDonald's, who we all know wheels around in a wheelchair, he was healed yesterday. You would know whether that was a lie or not. All you got to do is go down there and see. And if I wrote about it, you would also know if it was a lie. The only way people followed Jesus was that they could see the miracles he was claiming was true. If he said, I healed this blind man, the next day, if that hadn't happened, all his apostles would have just gone. All the people who were following him would say, well, wait a minute. He's lying about this. He's not performing these miracles. Okay, so it would have been obvious. And here's the clincher. The Bible authors who recorded all these miracles that you and I didn't personally see, but they were back at that time, they died as martyrs rather than give up their testimony about the miracles of Jesus and his resurrection. The point is, no one would die for a lie knowing it was a lie. They knew whether Jesus was doing those miracles or not. We know that their testimony is true because they died before giving it up. They died because they would not give it up. Some of them were treated and were treated very poorly and were executed very, you know, in ways that were very unpleasant. And so, again, just a little peek at the evidences that are in the scriptures that talk about the miracles that we have that are written for our benefit. Okay, again, I'm just touching on these things. So scripture evidence is one type of evidence that you can look into. We're not going to be covering it during this series. Messianic prophecy, another amazing evidence that can be looked at. These are prophecies. These are predictions written down in the Old Testament, near 300 of them, that look forward to what the Messiah, when he would come, and describe specifically what would happen, how he would come, where he'd be born, what would happen to him, how he would die, all these things specifically recorded a few thousand years before he ever came along.
Amen.
And then, one by one, they're fulfilled in him. Just real quickly. Oh, let me read this verse first. Luke 24:27. And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, Jesus, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures. Jesus said, you need to look to these prophecies and see they're fulfilled in me. So we should look, right? Luke 24:44. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Now that's not the evidence. I'm just saying that's the challenge. Okay, this is what Jesus says. All these things are talking about me. And so you go back and just a few of them here. Born at Bethlehem. There's a prophecy. And I won't even say the quote there. Where it is, presented with gifts. He was going to be preceded by a messenger. Stone of stumbling to the Jews is what he was going to be. He shall be a prophet. He shall be a priest. He shall be a king. All these things he fulfilled. He would have a ministry of miracles. That is predicted back in Isaiah. Enter Jerusalem on a donkey. Betrayed by a friend. These are things you just can't arrange. Struck and spit upon. These are predicted, prophesied specifically in these different passages. There would be lots cast for his clothing. That was recorded as actually happening. Given gall and vinegar for his thirst. Hands and feet pierced, buried in a rich man's tomb, just on and on. These are just a few of the ones, of the predictions that were made many years before Jesus ever came. And one by one, He fulfilled them. It can't be an accident. And you can't even purposely go about and decide where you're going to be born and what they're going to do to you when you're on the cross, like, you know, gamble for your clothing. You can't do that. So how did it happen? It's an evidence for the inspiration of the Bible and for God that He is the God of the Bible. Okay, going on really quickly. Cities of prophecy. Again, we're just touching on these. Here again, we're talking about prophetic scriptures. Old Testament scriptures that speak about, instead of Jesus specifically, talk about particular cities back in ancient times. And there's condemnation put upon each one of these cities I'm talking about. They would be destroyed in a certain way, and their remains would be existing in a certain way. That this was a process that would happen that's described specifically in the Old Testament. And then later, many years later, hundreds of years later, sometimes a thousand or two, these particular prophecies were fulfilled exactly the way they were written down. You can't do that. Man can't do that. You can't predict the future reliably and accurately to that kind of detail. And that's what it is, a very great detail. Just real quickly, we've got the city of Tyre. A lot of you have heard about the city of Tyre. Amazing predictions about the city of Tyre, how it would come to its end. It's predicted exactly, and then later down in through the centuries, it comes about exactly the way that it's predicted. Even to the point of a detail, like there'll be people spreading their nets out on a bare rock where there once stood a city. Now, how do you get that right? How does that fulfill, you know, by accident or whatever? It can't be. So these particular prophecies must be made by God. These people, these prophets, spoke by God. Okay, and we've got cities like Babylon, one of the greatest cities of the world in ancient times, and the specific condemnation which was put upon it for being as ungodly as it was. Specific things that would happen, specific results that would occur, and then later specific that was fulfilled exactly as it was predicted in the Old Testament. These are great things to look into. If you never look into this, you need to. It's amazing. We've got places like Samaria and the city that existed there and what God's and the punishment that God predicted about it, and then later we see it came about just the way it was predicted. Gaza is one. Also, these are all cities of ancient times, and Edom, which is, I think, is one, a really cool-looking city, built in the side of the rock, just hewn out of the rock. How is a city like that ever going to fall? Well, it did, and it did precisely the way God said it would. So, evidences for Christianity, for the Bible being God's word. There's so many of them. Okay, so how about scientific evidences? I love science. I was a science major, and for a couple of years in college. Didn't make it all the way, but I love science. I love looking into those kinds of things. The Bible is not a scientific book, but it contains many statements in unscientific terms back in ancient times that the world did not agree with, did not believe. They were accurate statements. Things like God hangs the earth upon nothing. And you go back and look and see through all the civilizations, people believe that the earth stood upon a solid foundation. Sometimes it was kind of silly, on the back of an elephant who stood on a turtle swimming around in a big sea. But we know that's not the case. We know that God hung the earth on nothing. Today, it's obvious. We know it. Our technology shows us. We can fly around the world. We can go out in space. We can look back and see. But back then, it wasn't obvious. But it was stated correctly and accurately scientifically in the scriptures. Lightning causes it to rain. It's interesting that that wasn't proved until the early 1900s, that electrical charges in the clouds that can very often produce lightning causes it to rain. Back here in Job 38, verse 26, the lightning of the thunder causes it to rain on the land where no man is, on the wilderness where there is no man, and so caused the tender grass to spring forth. So now you can go into a lab and you can make this work, or you can register the electrical current in the clouds, and when it discharges, the rain starts. We know all this today. We have the equipment. We have the technology. They didn't know that back then, that was what actually caused the rain to form. The stars are innumerable. There's a little square inch view out of Hubble telescope, and you can't even see space. There's so many stars. Well, the stars, forever, up until the telescope that Galileo produced, the most amount of stars anybody could ever see in up on a mountaintop in the clearest sky was 2,500. And that was a long night to count all those stars. 2,500. The stars, they're vastly, vastly innumerable. And the Bible said that. Even though you could only count so many, usually you only count about 300, but if you got in the right place at the right time, you could seal up a little more clearly. Jeremiah 33, 22, the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured. Everybody knew there were only at least around, there were only about 2,500 stars. Well, no, the Bible doesn't have that error in it. It's plainly stated, you can't number the stars, just the same way as you can't number the sand in the sea. Hebrews 11, 12. As the stars of the heaven in multitude, and as the sand, which is the seashore, innumerable. There's too many of them. Of course, now we know that's the case. It's virtually impossible to count all the stars, or the galaxies of stars that there are. Okay, quickly going on. Again, I'm just whetting an appetite. Here's one. Life is in the blood. That's not something that was believed for many ages. Most societies bled you, actually opened up a vein and bled the blood out of you because they thought it was why you were getting sick. It was carrying disease or it was causing disease. And so they would drain some of your blood. And the scriptures never taught that inaccuracy. The life is in the blood. Leviticus 17, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So there is a scientific accuracy of the Bible that that we need to understand. Didn't come by the mind of men. They had a different idea. Okay, one more here before we get into what we're going to be doing. Again, this is just an overview of some things to whet your appetite to look further. Evidences in archaeology. Some of these are very amazing too. Unlike not the cities of prophecy, but just simply things that they've unearthed. Let's look at a few here. The Dead Sea Scrolls, we mostly heard about that. Established a number of facts about the Old Testament that were disputed for ages. It was often thought that, that the Old Testament books were written, the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered 250 BC. So it was often thought that the Old Testament was written 100 BC or even a little bit later than that and just kind of made up. Well, no, these particular archaeological evidence show that no, the Bible was around a lot longer than that and so could be trusted to be reliable in what it recorded. We have things like the Ebla texts. This is not 250 years old. This is 2,500 years old. Andrew.
Clarification, they weren't discovered in 250 BC. They were written.
Yeah, written. I'm sorry.
They weren't discovered in the 40s or 50s
or something. No, I'm sorry. That's right. They were written 250 BC. Andrew corrects me and says, yeah, not discovered, but written. That's when they were recorded. They were discovered, of course, more currently. What was the date they were discovered?
I thought it was in the 40s.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out when. I didn't have that down. Pardon?
1948,
Bill Downey says. Okay. But they help us to understand the accuracy of the Bible text. Ebla texts don't contain any information about the Bible, but mention again and again and again ancient cities that skeptics, that are mentioned in the Bible, that skeptics for a long time said they never existed. This is just a fairy tale. Somebody wrote this book down and made up these towns and then want us to swallow. City after city is mentioned in the Ebla text that did exist back there. So it's confirmation. This was written 2,500 years ago. So again, not proof of anything so much as just simply, it helps us understand the faithfulness of the scriptures, and that's important to know that these things happen. Just a secondary information there. excavation of ancient city. This is another example of a number, at least six or seven that I can think of, and I won't, again, if I had a class on this, we'd go through those cities that Skeptics thought didn't exist forever, and they discovered them not through the Ibla text, but through just simply excavating a site and finding, okay, here is the city of whatever it would be, whatever the city, I can't even think of some of the names of the city. I'm not sure if Gaza was one of them that they thought wasn't existed for a while,
Dan.
But they dug them up. Pardon?
Dan,
the city of Dan, is that
Troy.
One I can't? Pardon?
Troy.
Okay, Troy. They dug these cities up and they discovered, oh, the Bible wasn't lying when it mentioned this city. So verified that the information that was written was accurate and trustworthy. Okay, many evidences of Christianity. We're not going to be looking at these, but it would be great if you take the time and say, I want to look into these further and just find out even more of evidence that would help me help me be confident, even though you already believe, but it would help me to build my faith on a stronger foundation. Okay, let's see here. That's our little review there. What do we have here next? What we're going to be doing is looking at creation evidences. Evidences about what has been made, if it has been made. We're going to look at the arguments that say, no, we don't need to have a creator. Everything came around by accident. We'll look at that. We'll look at both sides, so that we can see what evidence there is to support either one. What evidence is offered by evolutionists that say we all came about by accident through a random process and there is no God. And the evidence that I believe, because of how strong it is, that God is our creator. Of course, these are some of them that we just reviewed, but the ones I think that are also very strong are creation evidence. Evidences in the things that we see outside and up in the sky and in our own person that are so strong and obvious that we should need to make a decision. There is a God. Only God, only a creator can actually explain why all these things are.
Amen.
So, here, how did we get here? That's the question to start off with. How did we get here? How do you think we got here, Harold?
I was born.
Okay, I know. But what was the cause of all this? Okay, our belief is it was God, right? God reached down and created the heavens and the earth. Okay, we take that primarily or probably mostly because we understand the scriptures and we've been convinced they're true. What's another explanation many people in the world believe who don't believe in God?
Big Bang.
Big Bang, okay, or the general term for how everything came into existence?
Evolution.
Evolution, okay, a big accident. A big accident way back with the Big Bang, which is the beginning of the universe. We won't go into detail on that right now. But then when the first life, these molecules, these little elements running around combined a certain way and formed little molecules that combined in a certain way to form proteins and those proteins finally fell together accidentally and formed the first basic cell, on and on until everything advanced up and up and up. So that's a second explanation of how all things got here. And we want to look at the evidences for both. Is there a third way that you can think of? Notice I leave space here for a third way. What's the third one? Have you ever heard about it? Mike?
Theistic evolution.
Okay, that we're going to keep with evolution, but that's a good point. We'll look at theistic evolution, that God created all things through evolution, and we'll spend some time on that later. But I'm going to lump that in with evolution too, but that's a good point. Somewhere else, if God didn't make us and we didn't evolve, is there another explanation of how we might have got here? Let me give you a clue. Well, that's not the clue. That's the clue. Aliens put us here. I love sci-fi, so I would love this explanation, but I don't believe in it. Okay. Yeah, the Earth was seeded by aliens, right? And that's, you know, they came down and just put down whatever that, you know, after so many generations we came up. Is there a problem? Does that answer any questions though, Mike?
Yeah.
We only changed the question from how did we get here to how did they get here.
Okay, how did the aliens get here? Other aliens, before they went on their planet, they planted them on their planet.
How did they get here?
Oh, well, that's easy. Because on their planet, yeah, obviously that's not an answer, right? This third one isn't really. You still have to come back to, in the beginning, how did that first group of aliens ever come into existence?
Amen.
Was it by God creating them? And he could have used this system over here. He could do anything. I don't think there's any evidence for God creating the first alien who came and seeded our planet. And I don't believe in, you know, what are the crops that are cut, you know, and pictures of aliens, if I've ever seen that kind of stuff. I don't think there's real evidence for that. I think that's a guy with a big imagination and a big lawnmower that cuts all those fields. Either it's God or it's an accident. That's it. That's really what you've got. Yeah, Sam.
The reason why you put up the third alien is not just because you like science fiction.
Yeah, no, it's
not. It's actually because it's in the scientific field, especially people that believe in evolution, that is their leading theory right now.
There are some who do. And in fact, the guy that made this, you remember the book Chariots of the Gods by Eric Von Daniken? Maybe you read that. I know I looked at it years ago. I don't know if I read the whole thing, but that was what he believed in. A number of followers who think that we were basically planted by aliens. So, but again, it doesn't answer the question, does it? If we did come from aliens, who made them? Or how did they get there? Andy.
So, then it's fair to ask, where did the aliens come from?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also fair to ask, where did God come from?
Okay. Go, where did God come from?
Yeah.
As far as the, oh yeah. Well, we're going to.
People say aliens put us here. Okay, where did the aliens come from?
Right.
Where did the aliens come from? I think it's also fair to ask them, God created this. Where was the beginning of God?
Yeah. Well, sure. You could go back to the final, even in the study of, as we're going to be presenting evidences for God creating, something that we assume about him, but stated in Scripture, is that he's eternal. But from the standpoint of a natural, as far as a natural beginning of things, then yeah, did God have a natural beginning? Yeah, and some people would say that he did. And I disagree with that, and I think that's getting pretty sci-fi. Yeah, Mike.
I've heard the phrase used, eternally self-existent, and that's descriptive of the God that in which I believe, is that no one needed to create him. That he is eternally self-existent. And that, of course, the difference is, again, flipping it back onto the other side, the evolutionist believes that material, matter, is eternally self-existent. It has never not been, and, mm-hmm. and you know.
So. Yeah. As far as the existence of God, it's something very hard to prove, but when we look at the evidences for a creator, for God, when we look at those, and when we see that they line up so closely, the physical evidence of the universe lines up so closely with the account of scriptures, then the conclusion comes in when you add up all the evidences for the scriptures and for creation, it's Jehovah God. It's Jehovah God. He's the one. And so, so that gets up there pretty deep, but so we'll be looking at this. Okay, what do we got? We got some time left. Appreciate the comments and the questions, and I'm not repeating them as I said I was going to as well as I should be. All right. Where are we here? I don't recognize that slide.
Ooh. Where did it come from?
Yeah. Okay, something's not working. Just give me a second here. We've got a background that's not showing up. And that is concerning. And it makes a difference because you've got to be able to read the text. Apologize, we didn't practice this as well as we should have. I did bring this down. I'm going to make a change here and see if this will help. What happened? Why did we miss those things? I'm not sure what's going on. Technical difficulties for a bit here.
Do you want your original back, though, than you originally had?
I tried going back to that slide. Do you have something original? Yeah, that would be good. If you can do that and see if that brings back the background. The background is not just colorful. It basically gives you where you can read the fonts to and the text. And if that's not there, see if that brings things back. By next week, we'll be sure to have this all ironed out. And I've got my disk too, actually, I could use if we need to. Here we go. I can find us.
You got it?
Thanks, Scott. I don't know what we would do without Scott and without Nathan and Matt and a number of the other men now that are helping out there in the room. It's just been invaluable. Okay, so start there. Slideshow from current slide. Okay, got there. We're back. Creation evidences, that's what we're looking at. Why are we looking at creation evidence? We're not looking at the evidence yet, but we're looking why we're spending the time. It's a fair question to ask you right now. Why do you believe that there's a God? Why do you believe that the Bible is His word? Why do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, maybe you've read the Bible and you've looked outside and you say there can't be any other answer. But having some evidence to back that up helps. It helps to build our faith. So you need to have a reason. We need to have a reason for why we believe. It's not enough to want to believe. You know, I kind of wish it was. Well, I just want to believe there's a God. That doesn't do it. My parents always told me that God was real and that God exists and He created us, and that's why I believe. That doesn't cut it either. My wife, before she would marry me, said I needed to be a Christian. That's not a good reason either. There needs to be a basis for your faith, something that's reasonable, rational, and God expects that kind of faith. That's why He made all the things He did. So we would make that kind of conclusion if we would spend the time looking. Also, to help others with their faith. Some people maybe not have such a sharp sense of common sense like you do and need more information and need to look more closely at the evidence that God gives. So to know these things, to understand the different evidences of God's creation, it's good to have those to help others. And here's a reason, this supports that, 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to be ready to give an answer, and it needs to be a reasonable answer. God is a reasonable God. God is a God full of loving feeling and kindness, but He is a God of truth, and He is a God of reality and reason, and He expects us to use our minds and the evidence that we have to make conclusions about His existence. Jude, verse 3, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. And so we have a responsibility of Christians who believe in Jehovah God and his word to be able to make an argument and contend with people who don't. Now, contend doesn't mean to be contentious. It means to be ready for the battle, for the argument. When somebody comes along and says, you're just so foolish to think there's something more than evolution, are you ready to answer that? To make an argument for God, that he is real? That's why we're spending this time, so we can have some weapons in our arsenal to be able to come back, weapons of warfare, spiritual warfare, right? We've got the sword of the Spirit, right? And we've got this amazing, glorious creation. And so be able to use those accurately is important. Let's look at the fuller verse here for just a minute. Starting back where we're going back where we started in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3 now. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. This is what God says in his scripture, that I have been telling everybody since the existence of this world, day after day, night after night, listen to my voice. It's clear. Doesn't matter what language you speak. It's obvious. Look at the evidence is what he's saying. So we're gonna look at it. We're going to look up at the sky sometime, and we're going to look at this earth, and we're going to look at creatures of design that are obviously designed, only way they could come about. We're going to look at some of the features in our body that you cannot explain by an accident and by random mutation. Matt, sorry. Oh, 21. Thank you very much. I was hoping somebody would speak up. So, come back next week. Okay. And we'll get to it. We're going to be still a little while. We're still going to be making a case here, but you'll see why it's obvious. We're going to look at some of the fruits of evolution and where that's taken everybody. Thank you for your attention this morning. Come back next week, please, and we'll continue our study. You're dismissed until for 10 minutes.